Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Michael Hoggard continues his study on the Cult of 33. As we begin today, I want to invite you to join us for a life-changing pilgrimage to Israel with Southwest Radio Ministries host Dr. Larry Spargimino and Josh Davis. Explore ancient Jerusalem, worship at the Mount of Olives, and reflect by the Sea of Galilee. A transformative journey of faith awaits, November 9th through the 20th. Get all the details and reserve your spot today. Visit swrc.com and click on the Israel Tour banner on the top of the homepage. Or just call us at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Spaces are limited. Make sure you reserve your spot today. SWRC.com, click on the Israel Tour banner, or call 1-800-652-1144. Come, join Dr. Larry Spargimino and Josh Davis in Israel. Here's author and Marginal Mysteries host Micah Van Hus with today's guest, Pastor Michael Hoggard.
Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall. I am your host, Micah Van Hus, and today we are continuing our discussion with the UFO pastor, Pastor Michael Hoggard. How are you doing today, sir?
The UFO pastor. I've gotten a lot of good press off of that title. There was actually a German blog writer that attended a MUFON meeting that we attended out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And he wanted to know what in the world a Protestant minister was doing at a UFO conference. Like I was the weird one there, you know, but he ended up writing a real good article about me. And so it's gotten me some good press. I'll say that.
So last segment, we were talking about your DVD Cult of 33, but you wanted to talk a little bit about the number 3 and how that ties into it. So if you don't mind, take it from there, Pastor.
Yeah. And one of the things when I started studying numbers was God sort of led me to, you know, Mike, if you want to know what the numbers mean, go to the Genesis chapter. And the number 1, of course, is for beginnings, the first things. That's what you have in Genesis 1, the, you know, the creation and everything. Number 2 is for unity. It is for, and what do you have? You have God taking Adam. It's not good Adam be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And so God takes his rib and makes his wife. And now the two, Adam says the two now are become one flesh. And that's in Genesis 2. So we get to Genesis 3. Now, what threw me there for a while was I'm looking at 3 as like the number for God, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm looking for resurrection, things like that. But you don't find that there. What you find is the serpent showing up, and he never tells Eve to go eat the fruit. He turns her on to it, and the lust was already there. And then she does 3 things. She sees that the tree is good for food. She says that the fruit looks good, and that the fruit is desired to make one wise. The gospel, the Bible says that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. 1, 2, 3. So it is of the world and not of God. When Jesus was tempted, he was tempted the exact same way. Lust of the flesh, turn these stones to bread. Lust of the eyes, see all these kingdoms I'll give to you. The pride of life, jump off this cliff and God will have to protect you and so on. And, you know, Jesus rebuked him all 3 times. So I had to look at the number 3 as a number related to sin. And I started thinking about it. You have Adam, he sinned. You have Cain and Abel. We know that Cain slew Abel. And that's because Cain's deeds were wicked. And then because Abel couldn't reproduce because he's dead, Cain's offspring are scattered way out of the way. They all die in the flood. And then we have Seth. Seth is the third born from Adam. Now, Seth carries all of the sinful nature that his father Adam has. He passes it down all the way down to Noah. Noah is saved, but Noah has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they all carry that sinful nature. Pass it down to the three primary races of people on the earth. And so that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then it goes down to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. All three of them are sinners, but they need atonement. So the third son of Jacob is Levi. Levi's the tribe that does the atonement for sin. Leviticus is their book. It's the third book of the Bible. It has 27 chapters in it, 3 × 3 × 3. And so the whole idea behind the book of Leviticus is that it shows us that there is a price for sin and that an innocent lamb has to pay that price for sin. So then we jump forward to the New Testament. And here we have Christ. He begins his earthly ministry at 30 years old. 3.5 years later, he is betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. He is taken to Golgotha, and he has a thief on the right and a thief on the left. And so the Bible says he is numbered, and I just love that. He's numbered with the transgressors, and that number there was three. And so he says three words at the end, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. And here's what I love, Micah. The only other place in the whole Bible where you'll find the words, it is finished, is in the book of James. I think it says, lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's exactly what happened on the cross. When Jesus said, it is finished, he gave up the ghost. So at that point, our sins are done with. They're over. Christ then, 3 days later, rises from the dead, giving all of us victory over death, over sin. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, I love following those number lines in the scripture because they're absolutely so unique. So let's turn this upside down now. Okay. Because that's the good part of the number three. The bad part of the number three is let's start out with Lucifer. Okay. We know that Isaiah 14 says of him, he says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So number one, he says, I want to ascend into heaven. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at a picture of actually two pictures. This is Elon Musk's. This is his Raptor rocket. And they've perfected it pretty much. And I think this is how they're going to leave it for a while. But they went up from like 7 individual rockets on the bottom of that thing to 33 rockets on the bottom of that thing. And those 33 rockets are what propels it from Earth to heaven. Now, in case somebody doesn't know where exactly the Earth ends and the heaven begins, there happens to be, this is actually not only scientific, but it's legal. There is a line. It's called the Kármán line, and it's named after Theodor von Kármán, who discovered it. And he said, this certainly a physical boundary where aerodynamics stops and astronautics begins. Neil Armstrong, if you ever watched the movie First Man, that first part of that movie is true. He flew, and now get this, he flew an experimental plane whose tail number was 66672. I'm not making that up. He flies his experimental plane, and he's using his wings and everything like that because he's got air. But then he crosses the Kármán line, and the air stops. He doesn't know how to get back down. So then he turns his rockets on and just sort of carves himself like a knife back into the air again. And that line, the Kármán line, is exactly 330,000 feet above sea level. Okay. Now, how that works out, I just say, okay, it must be God then. All right.
Yeah.
Now, let's see here. Yeah, again, we've got the Raptor SpaceX's rocket that it uses to take, here we go, to take the SpaceX Dragon, which is the capsule that holds the astronauts. It's the capsule that goes up, and it's the one that goes and locks in with the International Space Station, and they can transfer people and transfer materials and different things like that. So you have a Dragon with 33 engines underneath it, propelling it up above the heavens, up above the heights of the clouds, just like Isaiah said. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, how come all of this is following what these verses say in Scripture? But that's because that's the nature of the beast, as it were. Okay. It's not like the devil says, okay, we're going to do this with 33 things on it, or I don't think he has that much control over it. I think that God has designed Satan and all devils, for that matter. My idea is devils are like wolves and owls and lions and snakes and serpents and dragons and all kinds of cockatrices like that. I think that's what devils are. I think they're all beasts. They have a beast nature about them, which means that they can't be reasoned with. And just like what Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds have nests. Well, birds don't live in holes and foxes don't live in nests. And so they have this nature about them. I think God gives us the signs in our Bible. It's sort of like carrying a Boy Scout field guide into the woods with you. You can learn the signs and learn when Satan or any of his devils have had anything to do with something, because the signs are there. I'll give you, this is interesting to me. In 1958, NASA began, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. I'm not sure if they did this on purpose, but the word NASA, it is actually a Hebrew word. It really is a Hebrew word. I'm looking at the Strong's number. It's, let's see here, it's 5375, and it literally means to bear, to lift, to take, to carry away. So to carry off, to lift up, you know, and that's what NASA does, okay? So I'll give you a brief rundown of America in space. It started out with the Mercury 7. Well, why are they naming these rockets after gods? Mercury was a god. It's not just a planet. It's a god. Then you had the Gemini missions, and that was to prove whether or not they could put two astronauts up in space at once, and they did. Gemini, of course, is one of the constellations, and it's, you know, they're two gods. Then you have the Saturn rocket, the Saturn V rocket. That's the heavy lift rocket that was eventually going to take the astronauts to the moon, okay? You have Apollo, who is the god of light. So, and I do believe that there is a link between the name Apollo and, of course, Apollyon from Revelation 9:11.
Yeah,
and they both mean like to fall away, or, you know, things like that, to rebel, to fall away. Now, and I don't know why I didn't see this earlier, but I knew for a while that when they went from the Gemini missions to the Apollo missions, NASA knew that they needed to select specially gifted guys to do these Apollo tests. Okay. So they actually picked one astronaut, Deke Slayton, to be their leader. He was one of the original Gemini astronauts, but they said he couldn't fly because they said he had a bad heart, which turned out not to be true. So he's going to be the head of all the astronauts. And then they go and they pick 32 Apollo astronauts with one leader, 33. And I went, no way. And sure enough, that's exactly how it was. But then, and I don't know why I never caught on to this, but just about everything that the devil does requires a human sacrifice. I'm looking at 1 Kings 11:7. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh. Well, Chemosh, he's a Canaanite Moabite god. The Moabites considered human sacrifice to Chemosh to be necessary to obtain the favor of Chemosh in critical situations, as attested by those performed by the Moabite king Mosa. Okay. So whenever you involve Chemosh in what you're doing, he's got to have a human sacrifice. So the entire Apollo program started out with Apollo 1. And you have three astronauts. Gus Grissom was one of them. He was an American hero. He'd already been in space. And on January 27th, 27 is 3 times 3 times 3, in a high place, because they were actually in the Apollo capsule doing some regular tests. They were in their suits. They were in a in this Apollo cabin that was complete oxygen, no nitrogen, nothing, full of oxygen and full of electronics. And of course, there was a spark and it burned all three of those astronauts up. Okay. So now Chemosh has his sacrifice. So after that, they didn't. And by the way, the word sacrificed is mentioned 33 times in the Bible. So, yeah, it's amazing. So anyway, after that, the Apollo, there was no Apollo 2 and there was no Apollo 3. Nobody knows why. Apollo 4, 5, and 6, they were unmanned flights. They sent a rocket up there. They sent the Apollo capsule up there. They did some maneuvers and some tests. And then they splashed down, and that was the end of it. It wasn't until Apollo 4 that they started, or no, not Apollo 7. It was Apollo 7 they started putting astronauts inside those capsules. So Apollo 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. That's a total of 11 missions that they make. Each one of those missions had three astronauts apiece in them. So going into space, you had exactly 33 astronauts as part of the very successful Apollo program. And when I look at that, Micah, I'm like, I know man isn't smart enough to do this. I mean, look at the symbolism of like the number 13 and Apollo 13. They took off at 1313, you know, 1:13 in the afternoon. That's 1300 hours. All of these things taking place to them, and yet they still make it back home. Okay. And so when the space shuttle Columbia, which got its wing damaged on takeoff, only nobody paid attention to it. They come back on February 1st, the 32nd day of the year. They're supposed to land on runway 33 at the Kennedy Space Center, but they never make it. You got seven falling stars coming out of the sky. How art thou fallen from heaven? Oh, Lucifer. Lucifer means light bearer. And they knew something was wrong because all these pieces of the Columbia space shuttle are burning up in the atmosphere and giving off light. So there was just way too many way too many coincidences for that to be by accident. It had to follow some sort of plan. And I don't think man is the one that did it. I think these were worked out by spiritual help.
I think obviously creation is a testament to God's existence. He says as much in scripture. But I also think that mathematics is an amazing way to prove that our universe is created by a benevolent creator and not some random chance of evolution. And the mathematics involved is fascinating, which is, of course, what you've been talking about. Folks, you've been listening to Pastor Michael Hoggard on his DVD Cult of 33. You can get your copy at our website, swrc.com, swrc.com, or by calling 800-652-1144. That's 800-652-1144. Ask for Pastor Michael Hoggard's Cult of 33 DVD. So, Pastor, we got just a couple minutes left. I got one more question for you. But before that question, you are also going to be speaking for us at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse event in Carmel, Indiana. That's right outside Indianapolis, and that is coming up here very soon, the beginning of June. And folks can get more details by going to the swrc.com website and clicking on events. And Pastor Hoggard, look forward to having you there. You'll be talking about the UFO agenda and cryptid creatures is on the list. But the last question I want to ask you about your Cult of 33 DVD, what about modern culture and what we see today? Do you believe that the use of 33 today is increasing? And if so, what should Christians be watching out for?
Just about anything that comes up. Let me give some examples here. During COVID, I kept seeing people were sending them to me, all of these news stories, whether they were on the internet news or they were on network news or even local news stations. Here's one I'm looking at, and it says we have 33 confirmed positive tests. This was on Fox News. At least 33 states have declared, you know, that they have states of emergency in response to corona. Well, why say at least 33? Why don't you say there's exactly 35 states or 37 states? They use 33. The Star put out a story March 8th, 2020, 10 new cases detected, all linked to case number 33. Here's another one. 33 new coronavirus cases confirmed in Massachusetts, nearly 200 in total. You know, they could have very easily said more than 30 or almost 40.
Yeah.
They keep giving this number 33 over and over and over again. And I'm sort of on the fence of whether this is deliberate or whether it's, you know, actually got something to it. People see it in the events that take place, such as 9/11. There was a bunch of 33s that showed up there. You know, even little things like Kobe Bryant, he played for the 76ers. When he died in that helicopter crash, they didn't put his 76ers jersey number up to honor him. They put his high school jersey number up to honor him. And his jersey number in high school was, take a guess, it was 33.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I also noticed a few years ago, I was an avid sports fan watcher until these guys put, you know, started taking a knee during the playing of the national anthem. But anyway, I noticed that they moved the line upon which a guy kicks a field goal at the end. And they moved it to, it looks like the 22-yard line or something like that. But anyway, the guy's got to kick it 33 yards now to get through the uprights. And it didn't used to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was done like that, moved like that for some reason, just seemed to move like that on purpose. Now, a theory that I have is that the more society in general becomes used to seeing certain things, certain patterns, then you can just onslaught them at some point with these same numbers and same patterns and same symbolisms or whatever, and they'll easily accept it because it's become part of the zeitgeist. It's become part of the spirit of today. This is how we expect to see things. We expect to see 33 of this, or we expect to see 55 of that. And or I've been collecting, I've got a website called 666adsalert.com, and it shows how the number six or these hexagons show up in 666 forms on all these packages. And at some point, people become used to that inside their psyche, so that everybody's used to it.
Yeah, and even our children too. They're
sure.
inundated. Pastor Hoggard, it's been fascinating talking to you about your Cult of 33 DVD. And I hope you have a wonderful, blessed day. And I look forward to seeing you at the Mysteries of the Bibleverse soon.
See you there, Micah. God bless.
Why does the number 33 keep appearing in history, prophecy, and occult practices? In the new DVD, Cult of 33, Pastor Michael Hoggard, renowned for his groundbreaking studies in Bible numerology and occult symbolism, unpacks the astonishing significance behind this mysterious number. In this eye-opening four-part DVD series, you'll explore the biblical roots and prophetic meaning of 33, its deep connections to secret societies and occult rituals, and what the recurring appearance of 33 could mean for the future. Whether you're a student of Bible prophecy, fascinated by the hidden world of numerology, or simply seeking truth in a world full of deception, this series will equip you with the knowledge you need to discern the signs of the times. Order your copy of the four-part DVD, Cult of 33, when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Cult of 33 on our website, swrc.com. Don't miss this powerful teaching that could change the way you see the world around you. Order Cult of 33 today. 1-800-652-1144. Friends, if you have a prayer need, would you let us pray for you? We consider it an honor to pray with you. Prayer requests come in from all over the country through the mail, on the phone, and now through a special email address, prayer@swrc.com. That's prayer@swrc.com. Tomorrow, Josh Davis will unmask the global agenda and will learn to stand strong in the truth. Be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.